mic in this room, so I'll shout. We have heard before. I'm a consultant at IBM. I'm an inventor. I've worked in security for a couple decades now. I've seen it all, done it all. I've been an architect in every single enterprise security space. And I've worked with a lot of customers, right? I've worked with hundreds of IBM's customers, many of them are Fortune 500 companies. And I'm flying out tonight to meet one of them later. It'll be 33 degrees, which is just going to be rough. And I'm arriving at midnight. So this is a great YouTube video. This computer doesn't have network access, but this is a great video. This is an IBMer who is one of our X-Force Red pen testers, and she does a great video. I'd like to have you see it, but I can't show it. And it talks about interns who are a gold mine for hackers, right? So all of our interns are taking selfies, right? The high resolution cameras, and it's actually a threat, right? It's a serious threat, and I'm sure we all have interns, right, at the company. So please take a look at that if you get a chance. So this is media and entertainment key risk domains that we see. So production, post-production, marketing, sales, distribution. Risks. Lack of audit trails. We actually have a guy over at our table who do more of the media and entertainment specific tracking of these risks, right? And we're trying to put together a blockchain-based solution around these audit trails, right? So is it possible to have blockchain be used to represent and track the flow of this data as it moves forward, right? So pretty interesting stuff. I don't know if you have some on that, but there are folks who are over in the other room. Threat actors. So these are the typical actors. Same as for any other industry. So you've got cyber criminals, hacktivists, APT groups. I worked with a guy who was responsible. He was at Sony. And if you all remember Sony a few years ago, they had that big hacking incident, right? So it was a nation state actor. And this guy was the VP of development of, you know, developers, right? And his system got hacked, right? He was at Sony, and now he's all about not DevOps, but what we call DevSecOps, right? So he's now paranoid about security. He was burned by North Koreans at the time, right? And now he's very much involved with doing it right. Okay, so let's dive in. So this is threat analysis specific to media companies, right? So this is content stolen from entertainment and media companies. These are the top threats that we're starting to see, the top malware that we're seeing, crime wave families, right? So these are the types of tools that are being used by attackers. So IBM knows very much exactly what the type of profile is for media and entertainment. So going back to my journey to cloud, these you may have heard it in a bigger room. What we're looking for is a strategy, right? How do we get to the cloud? Now that most of us have dipped ourselves into the cloud, we may have put a few applications out there. We're not really doing it well yet. Nobody's doing it very well. And we now need to step back and take a strategic look at how to do this. So three big areas. Develop a strategy, right? So let's come up with a strong strategy. And then shift left with DevSecOps. And when I say left, I'm talking about the development lifecycle. So I don't know if any of your developers are involved in the actual code creation process. But as we visualize the development of the program, it starts at high-level requirements and gets down into the build. And when I say shift left, I'm saying move left in terms of considering the security and resiliency outcomes, right? So we need hacker mindsets involved when we're building out our products. So we think of all the what-if scenarios, right, as we build out our products. And then long-term, once we get to the cloud, we need to manage it and monitor it and make sure that we're resilient, right? So not only is your, you know, secure application built and up and running, but now it'll stay running. It's got multiple backup environments, you've got multiple data centers, etc. So IBM can help with all of these, right? We can help out with any of these. If you need a strategy, we can help with the strategy. more securely, we can help with that, and of course we can manage it long term as well. So starting with the strategy, right? So a lot of us are in firefights, a lot of us are in firefighting mode, and we really need to put down a strategy which says, how are we going to get to the cloud? How do we enforce our processes properly? So starting with the strategy, that's key. We can, of course, help with that. And then move. So this is, now that you've got a strategy, you execute the strategy. So you build it out properly. So secure by design methodology is what I've been talking about. So secure by design. So you've got someone who created a what-if scenario in your development team, in your deployment team, thinking about all the what-if problems that could happen, right? So you need those folks involved. And then you can start using security controls that are in the cloud environments themselves. And then, of course, continuously test, right? So pen testing, application scanning, offensive testing. Right? So do you have a pen testing team that reviews everything on an annual basis, right? So, and not only testing the application, but hacking your people, right? So we want to see who's are going to be the human, I guess, entryway into your environment, right? So, and then finally, run it in steady state, right? And talk about something called resiliency. So resiliency is a fairly new topic. It's, of course, we've had business continuity and resiliency before, but as we move to cloud, a lot of our customers are not doing it with resiliency in mind. So they build out an application, and they don't have a plan for when it goes, the application goes down, and they don't have really a strong sense of where the data is backed up. There's now new malware vectors that not only attack your production data, your production databases, but once they're in, they attack the backup environment. Right? So we think about threat vectors like ransomware. And so ransomware, what we think about as a solution to ransomware is taking backups, right? But if your backups can't be trusted because they've been infected, and they've been infected for a year or two, how would you even know whether you can recover from your backups, right? So it's a big new area. Okay, so that was it, three key strategies. So if I want you to take away anything from today as you migrate to the cloud, think of a strategy. We can advise you on that, and then execute, and then manage in steady state. And so that's basically the takeaway. Now we're talking about resiliency. So I mentioned resilience. Resilience is to say that we keep doing business no matter what, right? Even if we've been penetrated, even if we've been hacked, we can stay resilient and continue to do business. So then here's another piece of data. So the total cost of a data breach is not the actual data breach itself, but the downtime of your business, right? So the total lost downtime. So a lot of security folks and CISOs are really concerned with preventing a breach or handling the incident or handling the trust and handling the public relations of it, right? But we need to be concerned about keeping the business up and running as well. Okay, so holistic approach. So cyber resilience is everyone's business, right? So we need to talk about all of these roles. So this is your C-suite, right? The CEO, CISO, right? Everyone's got to be responsible for it, which is a tough thing to sell. We're going to talk about extreme ownership. It's a military kind of a concept. Here's another detail about cyber resilience. Do you have immutable storage? Right? So I talked about backups being core, and I talked about air gap protection, right? Do you have air gap protection for your backup environments? Okay, if anyone here is familiar with the NIST framework, is anyone here with the NIST cybersecurity framework? Yeah, many? So this is the framework that they push, right? So it's insight or prevention, detection, response, and recovery, right? So we look to make sure that we've got all of these areas covered. Prevention, insight is basically knowing where all of your juicy data is, right? Do you actually know where it is, right? Probably not. So you need to start with an assessment and find out where it is, discover where it is. Then once you know where it is, now you have to prevent attacks, right? So this is the typical locking the doors. This is to say, we've got firewalls, we've got identity and access management systems, basic security around your data. The detection has to do with SIM and SOC technologies, right? So, of course, we sell a product. A couple of the top vendors are QRadar and Splunk, and so we have folks staring at a screen 24/7 looking for attacks, right? Looking for attack vectors, and basically trying to make sure that you've got correlation, right? So that if there's an entry point between different points of your network, you now detect it, even though it was, you know, hard to detect, you've got a correlation. Response is to say that you've got an incident response team, right? And they've got processes for responding, right? So when you respond, you've got to do that in a manner that maintains the forensics trail, right? So the response has to have, the appropriate workflows with the appropriate folks. So does your incident response plan have a practice team that knows how to handle incident response? And then finally, recovery. If you've got a data breach, your application may go down, right? And so you may not be able to trust it, you may not be able to trust the backup environment that you're in. So how do you recover, right? So this is the entire architecture that we're pushing at this time for cyber resilience. And again, this is the end-to-end security. Some of the new technologies we're starting to see, including containerization, really do lock down the environment. So this here is the user coming in through your endpoints, through your identity and access management, all the way to the data, right? And all of this can be locked down now, far more than it had been 5 years ago, using containerized technologies and things of that nature. So this is a broad picture of how to do it right. One of the things that I'd like to touch on was, okay, so this is, where is my data, right? So data discovery, classification, and protection, right? So do you know where your data is, right? So we have tools that can help with data discovery and classification. So we'll dig through databases, we'll dig through files, we'll dig through not only data, structured data, but unstructured data. So people's emails and things, so that we know where the critical data is, right? How do you know what's secure if you don't know where your stuff is, right? Once you have it, you need a strong identity and access management process in place. And then how do you deploy secure workloads? So there's a term called DevOps. I don't know if any of you are DevOps engineers, but DevOps is a new process and technology to allow us developers to push out to the cloud and using rapid development processes and push it out to the cloud. And what we're pushing is DevSecOps, right? So you hear a lot of people talk about DevOps, but we're pushing DevSecOps, right? So including the Red Hat acquisition, we're now very much strongly pushing DevSecOps, which again is to say, we're considering security at every single stage of the life cycle. So before we start with requirements, we're thinking about the what ifs, okay? So how do I adapt to threats, respond to attacks, and demonstrate compliance? So that's key at the end as well. Compliance is, a lot of people talk about compliance versus real world risk, right? Which is more important? Compliance being, in compliance with the law, or should we watch out for hackers, right? They're not always the same. So we'd like to move to a zero trust, as much as possible, to a zero trust model, which ensures that we lock down as much as possible. So we lock down the network, we lock down ports and protocols, we bind traffic specifically to binaries, et cetera, et cetera. So what to do? Get your business and technical teams actively involved, right? If you're struggling with securing an environment, go to the top, right? Go to the top of the business unit. You cannot, deploy strong security unless you have buy-in from the top. This is a picture from our X-Force Command Center. So it's over in Cambridge, right there near next to MIT. And what we do in this range is we bring in our customers and we give them an exercise. So we put them into a lab, into this environment. We gave them a fake company that they're now part of, and we put them on the phone with a reporter. And we'll say, "You've been hacked. What do you do?" And we'll start presenting data to them, and then we see how well they respond to an actual attack. So we bring in CISOs and chief operating officers and CIOs and things, and we see how they would respond, right? Most people have somewhat of a sense of how they respond, but they're not practiced, right? Because of major incidents, just not an everyday occurrence, right? So this is the Cyber Edge. I'd like to invite all of you to, contact me if you'd like to get invited. It's a very, very memorable experience, high touch kind of experience, and I'm sure you'd enjoy it. And that's what I have. I can open for questions. That's all I had to lead off with. Is there any questions?
How often do you do those sessions for the
Cyber Reader?
The Cyber Reader. Yeah.
It's backed up. There's a 2-month waiting list. And I think they do them at least 2 or 3 times a week. They do them by sector and by industry. But if you get out to Cambridge and do a Cyber Range event with us, I'm sure it'll be worth your while.
Do you guys do webinars also?
Not with this.
But in general.
Yeah, there's certainly webinars and free training and all kinds of things going on. But this is in person, right? So this is a lot more engaging.
So the Cyber Range is, they're all actors, right? And so we'll have specific companies that bring their C-level executives in across the board. It'll be an exercise. All of a sudden, you're going to work and you get a call from CNBC and you've been hacked. And your stock price is plummeted 10%. What do? You have runbooks and all set up for a disaster? So this will take you through, these actors will take you through the Cyber Range and get you up and you'll find out gaps that you might have that you need to correct, right, from this. But it's designed for the executives across the board, C-level executives and security executives down to some system engineers. It's a great, if you can get on the agenda in the next few months, I highly suggest it because it's a great exercise.
Are you using companies' playbooks or playbooks have been provided to you?
We can help you with the playbooks. Some companies don't have playbooks.
Right, but for the exercise.
For the exercise, there's no playbooks brought in to give them more, but they bring in what's in their head, right? What they know. Right, so they're executing what they would personally do, right? So that it brings light to what the gaps may be, right? There's two different types. There's a multi-client one where there's multiple customers. I was at the media and entertainment one earlier this year. CBS was there, a bunch of others, and basically I think that's free of charge. If you can get to Cambridge, you're free to experience that. But there's also a dedicated version if you're willing to pay for it. We can bring in your senior folks and do a dedicated session for you alone. A lot of people are afraid to share in a multi environment. But if you do a dedicated environment, we can customize it for you. In Europe, we actually drive a truck around, a big semi-truck, which has this whole lab in it. We take the experience all around Europe to the various customers and highlight. It's very cool.
Hey, can you talk about Kubernetes and containers and
infrastructure? Yeah. So Kubernetes is a big piece of our play with Red Hat. And so Kubernetes, of course, performs the orchestration, right? So orchestration is a very big deal now as well, right? So when we, let's say, if we are to rebuild or recreate in your backup data center and environment, Kubernetes or our other orchestration platforms can actually do that in a fully automated way, right? So if you've got the production application up and running in the primary data center, we can copy the entire thing, including all of the startup scripts, and including all of the sequencing and commands that need to be issued so that you can get up and running rapidly. Right? Kubernetes provides that orchestration, right? Kubernetes can drive down your deployment times from many hours to just the key takeaways. These are the key takeaways. Start with the strategy, right? Start with the strategy of roadmap, right? And we can help with that. If you like, we can put in a strategy that makes sense. We can help in any way you need. And again, shift left to DevOps, and then of course, the Modern Guard Manage. I was super interested. I'm a little bit new to some of the stuff we're talking about with watermarking, but you know, I'm an inventor and an architect, and I'd love to actually start, you know, getting involved with both our stock technology and SIM technologies together with watermarking to see if we can not only track a specific user, but you know, other ways you may or may not be able to capture data. So super interesting stuff. Any other questions?